I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Yeah. Well, Megan, today is a bit of a different day for us, isn't it?
It really is. We're still recording our podcast as normal, but we are in two very different places because we are currently under quarantine.
Exactly. Well, not technically quarantine. We are social distancing and also required to be working remotely indefinitely, which means we have to Skype to see each other.
it's a different world we're living in today.
It very much is.
We still have Bravo, you know?
Exactly. I mean, honestly, watching this week's episode of Real Housewives of Atlanta, I was so in it that I really totally forgot about everything else that was going on. I was laughing, I was emotional, I was mad, and I totally remembered that Bravo is the perfect place to escape.
Well, and we always say it is the ultimate form of self-care, and it's really nice that it is a way for people to sort of be connecting even though they're not in the same place. Like, I'm texting my friends about all the shows that are happening, like that big Shaws of Sunset feud, and I know you are too. So for anyone who's looking for a little escape right now, I suggest the Bravo app.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, because there is so much there. And, you know, a lot of people on social media are tweeting at Andy being like, please give us the new season of Roni early, or please release the Beverly Hills trailer or Potomac trailer. And he's like, we're working on it. But for the time being, there's plenty to watch on the Bravo app. So go back, maybe watch last season's Roni, you know, get your moments in with Bethany while you can. I don't know. There's a lot of options.
It's true. How is your work from home going?
Work from home is going great. Danny and I are not killing each other yet, right?
Yet being the operative word.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's not so bad. I mean, we are very lucky to be able to work from home. I think, you know, being on the Bravo digital team, we can all do our work remotely because as long as we have access to a computer and all of that, like, we're good. So really, shout out to, you know, all of the hospital workers, to people who work in the service industry. You know, a lot of our listeners, and I know you said this to me just a couple days ago, Megan, have been reaching out and, you know, talking to us a little more frequently and openly, I think, than a lot of our listeners have in the past because of all of the things that are going on. So, I mean, we're pretty lucky to be in the position that we're in. So we just want to say, you know, shout out to everyone else who's in a much tougher situation than we are.
How's my Danny doing?
Oh, he's great. Come say hi.
Aaron, come say hi to Danny.
You guys will finally get to meet Aaron and Danny in a sense.
Hi, everyone.
Say Aaron. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, hi, Danny.
Hi, Eric, too.
Hello, Eric, too.
Hi.
Yeah. Hi, Danny.
How's working from home? You guys like each other still?
So far, so good.
Yeah. I get that question all the time, like, you and Megan still getting along. It's just been one day.
It's just been one day.
Right. We have eight weeks of this.
Oh, don't say it.
All right, guys, I'll see y'all later.
Bye.
It's like, give me back my spotlight.
So what are we talking about today?
Okay, well, I mean, what a time for Bravo, because honestly, normally we recap three episodes because we have a lot going on, but we don't have all the time in the world. But this week we have four shows that we're recapping because we absolutely can't miss. We have Shaws of Sunset, Reza and MJ's huge throwdown that we've been waiting for all season. We have Real Housewives of Atlanta, Grease trip continues, Nene and Kenya are at it again. We have Brittany and Jax's wedding on Vanderpump Rules that we need to discuss, and we also have the reunion finale for Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Oh, so epic.
There's so much.
We also have interviews with James Kennedy from Vanderpump Rules and Marlo Hampton from Real Housewives of Atlanta. And of course, as always, we'll wrap things up with Rose and Thorn. So Shaws of Sunset?
Yes, Shaws of Sunset.
So, you know, there's really only two things I want to talk about, which, of course, is the pool party blowout. But then this revelation from Sarah that she dated R. Kelly for 3 years.
I know. Okay, so I think we should start there because that was the beginning of the episode. So we'll just go like chronologically how this all played out.
Yeah.
So my first question, did you watch Surviving R. Kelly?
Yes, absolutely.
Sarah also watched this documentary after things had sort of gone south with her and R. Kelly, I guess?
Yeah, like the way she described it is that she never saw any of the crazy behavior that women are describing, which is not to say that she in any way doesn't believe them. She was just clarifying that, like, for me, I never saw any of it. The only hint that I got something was weird was he invited me to his recording studio and there were a lot of girls there and it was very clear that he was sleeping with all of them.
Did you see anything that was described in the documentary?
No, I had an adult relationship. I didn't see him with an underage person. It just was never even a thing.
All you can do is speak the truth.
I just found out that he had other women.
One day I'm in Chicago with him and he tells me, I'm having a party at my studio tonight, but if you can't be cool, don't come. We get to the studio and there's literally a full-on club happening. Two more women show up and that's when it like hit me. Are you f-ing everyone at this table?
Right, yeah. I mean, she definitely mentions at some points that there were moments in their relationship that she felt like he was controlling, like there were kind of some red flags along the way, but obviously nowhere near to the point of what other people claimed to have had happen. But I'm also just surprised that like producers are letting her talk about this, like even from just like a legal standpoint. I mean, I guess at this point he's already kind of in prison, so maybe there's not necessarily any repercussions. But I kind of was like, wow, she's speaking on this a lot more than I anticipated her being able to, you know?
Right. Yeah, I just remember, I mean, them telling us this in the producers meeting, because it's like, it's one thing to be like, I went out on a couple of dates with R. Kelly. It's another to be like, I dated him for 3 years. Wow.
That's a long time. I mean, I'm curious to know how much more we're going to learn over the course of the season, just like timing wise with everything. I don't know, but it definitely makes me a little more interested to get to know Sarah and more about her. But I don't know. It's just, it's really shocking. And it just the way she reacted having the conversation with Reza, you can tell that this was something that really did deeply affect her. And how could it not, especially after going back and watching that series and just the things that are said throughout it and just knowing that that's someone you were romantically involved with, that's like, that's some next level shit.
Yeah. So then we get to the pool party.
Ooh.
Okay. I think it was terrible on Nima's part to be like, I'm just going to surprise everyone with MJ.
Yeah, I don't really support a blindside. I mean, we did not support the blindside of Kenya bringing in the cookie lady to Tanya's situation. You know, like, we had a blindside.
And we didn't support it when Ramona ambushed Jill with Bethany in season 2 of Real Housewives of New York.
Yeah, this does not ever end well because people need to both be in an agreed place of I'm ready to have this conversation. It's not just going to organically happen by someone not being prepared for it. Don't necessarily think that I expected it to end so poorly, but damn.
Okay, interesting that Gigi's first instinct when MJ arrived was to flee with who I assume is, like, is it her bodyguard? Like, her personal bodyguard?
Yeah, from what I understand, she hired the bodyguard not to protect her from others, but to protect her from herself because she was afraid. She was afraid that she, in her typical fashion, in her typical Gigi way, she would lose her shit. And she would lunge at someone and she didn't want to risk anything at that time. So he was there to protect her from herself more than anything else.
Now that I'm pregnant, I hired a little muscle for this pool party just in case anyone decides they want to step up to me.
Well, he did his job because yeah. She was like, bye, like I'm leaving. And then Reza was going to follow suit, and Mike sort of was like, no, 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 I think, like, you guys need to talk. And then just, wow, it just went left.
Yeah, you know, it seemed like for a moment, following suit with Gigi, Reza was going to leave too. He told Adam, get out of the pool, we're going. He made it all the way out to the street. He was going to order an Uber, whatever, to get out of there. Then he comes back into the situation because, as much as it might not be the right time, they are in the same place. So maybe this is an opportunity for MJ and Reza to work out what's going on. But it does not go that way. I mean, as soon as Reza approaches MJ, she's like, get away from me. So it's not even like just Reza was trying to leave and maybe he should have. But as soon as he even tried to approach her, she was like, absolutely not. But it's also, you know, Adam is kind of a key player in this situation. And it was kind of interested to see him maybe take the lead more than Reza, even though Reza and MJ do have the longer standing relationship. But he's a big component of why they're fighting right now.
Yeah. You know, I saw this episode a while ago and I just, like, my mouth dropped open when Reza said the thing about her having 10 abortions.
You have 10 abortions!
I just couldn't believe he went there. You know, first of all, someone's private medical history.
Yep.
Another, this idea that you're putting out information that women who do this, that have an abortion, are therefore going to have complications. And that's the reason that she had this near-death experience. It just was so, I couldn't believe it.
I know. I mean, my jaw dropped while I was watching it too. It was so layered. It was, you know, no one should ever say that to a woman. It was like a friend should never to a friend. There were just so many things wrong with what he said. And I think collectively, all of us reacted the same way that Mike did. Like when Mike, he was like, bro, and it's like he took his sunglasses off, his eyes were popping out of his head. You know, like he just could not believe that it went that far left and that Reza could even say something like that. It escalated to a point that, you know, I don't know if we've seen on Shaw's ever.
Well, it also just reminds me of another sort of ambush, which was on The Hills. And Lauren Conrad was so pissed that production had Heidi show up to the club that one night. And like that whole, you know what you did, like that just iconic feud. So, I mean, yeah, I think that is an interesting layer in all of this, where it's not just Mima who's surprising them, it's production too, because they have to have some involvement to get MJ there.
Right, exactly. I mean, MJ knew that Reza was going to be there. That was something that Mima
right.
had told her, and she still agreed to go. So that's why I was like, well, maybe she is open to having a conversation, but then maybe once she saw that Reza stormed out, and then she called him a little bitch, and then he came back, and then she shut him down and didn't want to have a conversation. It was sort of like, well, then what did you come for? Like, why are you here? You know, it just didn't seem like either one of them were ready to try to save their friendship, and they were still trying to attack each other, and there was sort of unfinished business between the two of them.
I do feel like maybe she thought she was going to walk in and they were going to be able to resolve it, but then she just saw how angry everyone was right away, and like I think she got on the defensive.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, when you walk into a situation as MJ in this particular situation, you know all eyes are on you and everyone's sort of expecting you to probably do something first, but she was like, I'm not going to react. I'm going to just mosey on in and let everyone else react first. But obviously it did not go according to plan.
I do want to point out though, because I've been seeing this on social, because I wanted to see what people thought about that moment. And like there've been some comments about, you know, either it's a shameful secret that you've had an abortion, or like, how can you be pro-life and that be a secret that you're ashamed of? And I find that so disheartening to see, because the reason there is shame and stigma is because of the reactions of other people.
Exactly.
And also, being pro-choice doesn't mean it's something, it doesn't mean it's an easy decision.
Of course. It raises a lot of, I think, issues around the way people react to that kind of stuff. And then another thing, you know, it can be then used against you. And that's right. Very unfair. And just everything about the way Reza handled that, I think, was just wrong.
Also, he doesn't seem terribly remorseful on social. Just putting that out there. I don't know.
I guess we're going to have to see how the rest of the season plays out. But as we know at this point, because you and I have both spoken to Reza and MJ respectively, and we know that the two of them are still not in a good place. So with reunion coming up, I mean, there's going to be either a resolution there or it's going to just be like, this will never be a friendship ever again.
Right.
Well, some friendships do get resolved, and we saw that happen on Real Housewives of Atlanta. So let's talk about that.
Oh, just the best episode ever.
The first thing, and you know, reading Cynthia during the Sky dinner about the wine.
I think this wine is excellent. Now, what makes this excellent in your opinion? Not too sweet, but there is a fruity effervescence.
Effervescence.
What would you pair this lovely rosé with? Fish and maybe a nice grilled chicken. Even though rosé might overpower the shrimp and seafood.
Ugh, just rude. Rude and unnecessary. Like what? And the thing that Kenya was getting so defensive about it in interviews. And she was like, I don't know who's asking these questions, but I'm about to leave.
Right. It's like, well, you started it, Kenya. Like, the producer is just asking you about actual events that happened. So, I mean, I think the way Kenya reacted in her interview obviously went to show that, you know, she kind of knew she was in the wrong and didn't really want to have to speak on it and defend herself, whatever. But it also seems like she was maybe just acting out at Cynthia, knowing that Cynthia would not hold her accountable.
Ooh, you know? That's a good point.
And I think Nene mentions it later in the episode. She's like, Cynthia will always excuse Kenya's behavior and let it go and be like, oh, well, she's hurt right now and blah, blah, blah. And she kind of does. And then, you know, the next day, Kenya, after the wine tasting, also buys Cynthia 4 bottles of wine, I think as a sort of like, sorry, I was shady. Here's some wine. Let's call it even all over again. So I think Kenya doesn't always come through and admit when she's wrong, but I think she does things or will show remorse in her own sort of Kenya way, which is not the most perhaps mature thing you can do, but that's Kenya.
It's also funny to me because this episode really had me thinking about Real Housewives of New York, like the older seasons. They started with a photo shoot. It was very Scary Island. The ladies were trying to, they did like wine testing, like blind tests. Can you figure out which one is yours? It's just so, like, the whole point is obviously to be shady.
Right. Yeah, definitely. And it, you know, obviously we watch Housewives because we all love a little bit of shade, but also it needs to be, it needs to fit the moment. And Kenya's shade to Cynthia at that time did not fit the moment.
Yeah.
When you go wine tasting, do you spit or swallow?
We either spit or swallow. It's up to us.
I have a
pen. And then we will.
What do you do, Tanya? You spit or you swallow?
I mean, if it's a good bottle, I'm definitely swallowing.
Whoa.
Depends on the bottle.
Listen, when I wine taste, I always swallow. Like, I don't care. I remember before I worked at Bravo and Oxygen, at one point I worked in like hospitality PR, and I remember going to a wine tasting at 10 in the morning in Brooklyn with like my friend Chandra and then our boss Jessica. And Chandra and I were both like, okay, we are absolutely not spitting out this wine. Like, we do not care if it's 10 a.m. And like, we were like, no way. Like, we're going to just take advantage of this free wine without question. And, you know, needless to say, by like 2 p.m., we were like at another bar, like a dive bar in Red Hook, and just like drinking, I don't even know, whiskey. So obviously, you know, that's how things play out when you start drinking at 10 in the morning. But I'm not enough of a wine snob to like properly do the tasting, and I'm sorry, I'm gonna swallow.
And that should be in your Twitter bio.
So post wine tasting, we get a lovely conversation between Portia and Nini, where I think perhaps the wine helped the emotions come out, and the two of them kind of just had this heart to heart where they apologized to one another. Portia, I think, was really good about expressing herself and what she was going through, and really brought it home for Nini. And, you know, Nini got really emotional too. And I think I love the two of them when they get along.
So yes.
I was really, really happy to see this conversation. I don't know if everyone else bought it, like Kenya, maybe even Candy, the way she sort of reacted in her interview. What is your take on the whole Portia Nini newfound friendship?
I think it's always hard for me to understand how people can cut so deep and then forgive. But I also think that it does help that you're in this group. It's like, are we going to make this work or aren't we? Because we're kind of stuck together. You know, we have the same friends.
Yeah. But no, that's true.
It is always weird. Like, Candy, have you just noticed she is so anti-feelings? Anything, like, too touchy or emotional, she just hates. And I find that so funny. Because she is a really good mom, but she's also, like, the least fuzzy person of the group.
Yeah, no, that is true. And it is kind of interesting, especially because as we're seeing this season, she's trying to get more into acting. And I think you have to be pretty in touch with your emotions to be good at acting. And maybe that's not always the case. And it's a sort of a different craft for everyone. But that is a really good point. And it's also sort of like Candy, yeah, she's close with Kenya. And you know, she and Portia have obviously had their issues, but it's also, it doesn't feel like Candy is super, super close with anyone in particular. I guess Kenya at this point, they're still kind of close, but I don't know. It just, it does seem a little bit like almost like an Erica Jane on Beverly Hills, like Candy always has a little bit of a wall.
Yes. Yes, they're very similar.
Yeah, they are. Hey, they've both been in Chicago.
Oh, I do feel like Tanya cursed this trip, because she, after Portia and Nini like had their reconciliation, she goes, we're having the best trip, everyone is getting along.
Yeah.
And then it was not so.
She should know better. I mean, I was having so much fun at dinner when they were all there. And they were laughing, they were having a good time, there were cats everywhere, there was like a dog, like they were just cracking me up at that dinner, and I was laughing so much that I knew it was too good to be true and that it was just going to go south. Obviously, I had seen the preview too, and I knew that there was a big fight coming, but I think anytime things are too good and cheery and everyone's having too much fun, that it's just a very short amount of time until everything falls apart, and it obviously did very quickly at their, what did they call it, the ruins dinner, the ruins
yes.
party or whatever. Yes. I mean, it left in ruins, and that is for damn sure.
I mean, anytime your idea for a dinner is, hey, let's talk about all the reasons we don't like each other and then just move on.
Right. But you
it's
know
not
what?
Gonna be good.
I do appreciate that. On Atlanta, they often organize these kind of events where there is an opportunity for people to talk and share their feelings and get things out. And they do it a lot on Married to Medicine. Like Dr. Jackie, this whole past season was organizing, you know, emergent tea parties, like doing all of these things to sort of get everybody back on the same page. And I think that's helpful because at least when they put a little structure behind it, people are able to get things out and whatnot. And then, you know, obviously it doesn't always end well, but I appreciate that there is an organized effort to get people to talk.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it all went left at the Ruins party when Nene brought up Mark.
That's why your husband left, bitch, because you're a everybody stop!
Which, to me, her whole credibility in the situation is sort of gone now. And the fact that she had attempted to make peace with Kenya the night before, Kenya sort of shut her down. And then Nene was just like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, I'm just going to absolutely tear into her now. And she just immediately brought up Mark. And I was like, really, Nene? Like, now there is absolutely no room to repair a friendship. And maybe that at that point, Nene doesn't care. But I was like,
why? Why was Nene so mad? It just, to me, seems like it came out of nowhere, you know?
Yeah.
Like, she's raising hands at Kenya. Yeah. Why are you so mad?
I don't think the two of them are ever going to be in a place where they will be friends. Like, we're never going to get a scene of, like, Nene and Kenya out to lunch having a conversation. That's not going to happen, and I don't think anyone expects that or even wants that at this point. But I just don't know that they will ever, ever see each other in any other way other than Kenya saying that Nene's fake, Nene saying that Kenya's crazy and shady and bipolar, I guess was the actual word she used. You know, it escalated so quickly and just turned into something where, I mean, obviously I'm grateful for some of the drama, but I hate to see it just fall apart like that because they were having such a good time on the trip. And maybe if they had a conversation the night before, it would have been different, but I don't know.
I don't know where we're going from here, but I can't wait to see.
Same. So obviously all of the things that are happening on Atlanta are leading us to be like, this is going to be an incredible reunion. But Andy confirmed on Twitter that it's going to be postponed because of everything that's going on. But I think that's only going to give an opportunity for tension to build all the more before they get into that room.
All the Kenya more.
Oh.
I've been inside too long. Well, I got the chance to interview to Real Housewives of Atlanta's Marlo Hampton. She talks about the origins of her decorating her hotel rooms, shares what she thought of Kenya Moore bringing the cookie lady to lunch with Tanya, and reveals her strict pre-reunion diet, which I think you'll all love. Plus, she gives us an idea of what fans can expect for her reunion style. Fun fact, she's using a fellow Housewives stylist. Let's take a listen.
Marlo Hampton, welcome to the Daily Dish podcast. This is
a
first.
I know, a first and hopefully not a last.
I know. Everyone was so excited you were coming to the office. They're like, is Marlo here yet? Is Marlo here yet?
I'm here.
You must get a lot of attention in Atlanta from fans.
You know what I do everywhere I go.
Really?
Yes. Even here in New York.
Yeah. I mean, that doesn't surprise me. You make quite a splash on the show.
Oh, that's good. In the best way. Well, thank you.
Yeah, I am so curious how it got started that you started decorating your hotel rooms.
You know what? I don't even know how I got started. It's just something in me. I think whenever I first started going to hotels, I would always take Clorox wipes, bleach, candles, and just when I'm away, I need it to feel like home, like it's mine. And I don't know if that has anything to do with me growing up in foster care, but home is so serious to me. And wherever I stay or lay my head, it needs to be comfortable. Like, I've been here, 3 days? And my team is with me, and they're like, okay, Marlo, we can just get a regular room. I'm like, okay. So we go to the desk. I'm like, I need to upgrade to a suite, and I need it to be nice and roomy and beautiful. So I'm living in this big suite for 3 days because it's like, I don't know. I just have to be comfy, and I want it to feel like home.
Yeah. Well, in Greece, I thought it was interesting the way Candy and Kenya let the ladies get their rooms. Like, you had to earn it a little.
Yes. That was so interesting. Very interesting.
Were you happy with the outcome?
Greece was really exciting because the way she chose the rooms, and someone had to take their makeup off, and we had to eat something. I didn't even know what I ate for my room, but I was excited with my room. It was the room with Portia. It was decent.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yes.
It was definitely an entertaining way to watch you ladies duke it out.
I mean, when Portia jumped in the pool, that was crazy. And I was just like, thank God Kenya didn't get to take the makeup off one. Oh, my God, that would have scared us all. It would have. When Nene was like, just taking her makeup, I'm like, whoo, thank God Kenya didn't volunteer for that one.
Well, speaking of Kenya.
Freddy Krueger. Okay.
I feel like at the beginning of the Greece trip, you know, the news had just come out that she and Mark were filing for divorce. And you were like, I'm going to ask her about it. And Candy seemed
reluctant, didn't want me to.
Yeah, didn't want you to. And maybe thought that maybe you had ulterior motives.
I didn't. Something that serious. Now, do I care for Kenya? Absolutely not. But I don't want anyone to be hurt or getting a divorce, and especially with a baby. But I just feel that no matter what a person is going through in this circle, Kenya is going to ask what's going on. So I just feel at the end of the day, we are a group of girls who are always together. How can we dare be around each other and not mention something so serious?
Right.
I mean, it was headline news the next day after our event with her and Mark.
Yeah.
So that was a shocker for all of us.
What was the charity event like?
The charity event, I was super excited about it. I mean, it was even a school night for my nephews to attend. But I'm like, you know what? I just got my nephews. I don't know how to show a man, you know, a boy how to be a man. But anytime I get the opportunity to take them around other black men that look like them, that are successful, I'm jumping on that. So to get there and the boys not have seats close up, it bothered me. Because, hey, I then brought them on the school night. I had spoke with Mike Hill, who was one of the MCs, and he said, hey, Marlo, I want to start mentoring the boys. He had called me about that. And I'm like, I want my boys up as close as possible so they can really enjoy this experience and really look at the people and not lose contact or focus, or they're all the way in the back. So,
Yeah, it seemed like a lot of chaos a little bit.
Yeah, it definitely was. And it seemed like Mark was not happy with her.
So you sort of understood where he was coming from?
Absolutely. Yeah. I felt where he was coming from, as in just sometimes you have to let the immature stuff go inside, not go around to each table. Oh, Marlo thinks this is about her. Just, girl, let's enjoy the moment of what we're here for. Right. Now, what you and Mark have going on personal, I don't know that. The only thing I can do is give that to God and pray you through it. But they need some help over there.
I feel like as Nene's best friend, I wanted you to weigh in, because I think this season, it seems like it's been very hard on her, and that it's been especially made hard by the other women not sort of accepting her back into the fold.
I think this is probably one of her roughest seasons, especially with Greg going through cancer and with the girls all seeming like they just weren't here for her. Now, I did love, and we have to admit, Nene was apologizing. She was handing out olive branches, as she said. Like, I was even telling her, if you notice, I'm like, just apologize. Don't you have something to do with this? And she really did it. So I just feel it was kind of tough, and I just salute her for doing that, because we usually don't see that side of her.
Yeah. You've been on a lot of trips with these girls. How did Greece rank in terms of how
Greece
you
was amazing.
Yeah.
It really was one up there. It was definitely in the tens. It was amazing. I mean, the energy, the carnival, it was amazing. And, I mean, the showdown in my room, I mean, that was just epic. It was like, wait a minute. How did this go from us partying, having fun, to where we're at now with the snake gate?
Yeah. So. I know a date has been set for the reunion. Mm-hmm. Can you give us a sneak peek at what your reunion outfit is?
I absolutely have no idea. I'm hiring a stylist, Dorit Stylist, as a matter of fact.
Ooh.
So as soon as I leave you, I'm meeting her at my hotel. Because I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to stress about this reunion. I want to look fabulous. And I love her style. And I was like, hey, who styled you for the reunion? She told me, and we're meeting in like an hour.
That's amazing. Because aside from you, like, Dorit is my favorite.
I love
Dorit. In terms of style.
I literally went on my DM. I'm like, Dorit, who styles you sometime? Because I know she does her. I do a lot of my own styling, me and my team. But I'm like, she's like, I have a stylist I use in New York. I'm like, awesome. I'm going to New York. She's like, here's her number. Give her a call.
How do you sort of prepare for the reunions?
First of all, I'm getting skinny. I'm going to be the skinniest one on the couch. So after I cheat today, I'm going to get back to Atlanta and get back on my strict diet. I need to meditate a lot, massages, smile a lot, because it's going to be a night of fireworks.
First of all, what's your strict diet?
My strict diet is 2 shakes a day, 1 protein bar that's cut in half, and then you have 2 meals, and the meals consist of a protein and a green vegetable.
Okay.
And 96 ounces of water and 3 cocktails a day only.
You still get 3 cocktails a day?
Yeah, I added it in, but it works. It works. Give it a try. I promise you. You will lose weight.
I think everyone's going to be hopping onto this diet.
I know, right?
Write yourself a diet book, please.
You're like, you get 3 drinks a day. Like, I added that in there, okay?
Because I just, it shocked me because I just went to the doctor. It was like, you know, you should only have like 7 a week. And I was like, what?
Oh, like, okay, that's wrong. I have like 3 a day. No, but it's crazy. One day I went to my doctor and I'm like, am I alcoholic? She's like, why did you say that? I said, because I have like a drink every day. She's like, so are you drinking liquor straight? I'm like, no, like lemon drops. It has to be sweet, mimosa. Mm-hmm. She's like, no, if anything, you need to worry about diabetes, sugar.
Just that.
I know. I'm like, great, I can keep drinking 3 a day.
Okay, so you think there's going to be fireworks at the reunion?
Oh, absolutely, baby. I mean, Kenya needs to bring that little 2 band with her. It's going to need a drama, fireworks. I think Nene is coming out. It's going to be a good, good, good one.
That's interesting because I was going to ask, do you think people are going to take it easier on Kenya because of the personal stuff with Mark?
Hell no. No, no.
She doesn't get a pass?
I'm not. No, no pass. No pass. Because one thing about Kenya, she's an Aquarius like myself. We get intuition. Kenya, I understand you want a husband. You want this amazing family life. Shit, I want it. But I'm not going to settle for it. And now with her having a daughter, hopefully she knows I cannot be somewhere if a person is not respecting me. If a person is going to get on TV and disrespect you in front of the world, I don't know. I mean, hopefully it works out with counseling and prayer. But Kenya knows if she needs to stay there, if she needs to leave.
What did you think of Kenya bringing the cookie lady to lunch with Tanya?
Kenya's a clown. What do you expect? That's one of her acts. I mean, she's an inspiring actress. She's going to take any shot to act up. I thought that was awful. Poor taste. That was just below the belt. That's the worst of the worst.
Were you able to stay friends with Cynthia when she and Nene were going through it?
I was, but I don't feel that Cynthia was as welcoming to me. I felt that she felt, your team, Nene, don't come over here. Because I remember we were here for Pride, and I met with her and Eva. I'm like, what's wrong with you? She even thought I was the snake gate. So when her and Nene fell out, she just absolutely put a wall up for me. And I'm like, that's not fair. It just wasn't fair. I don't have anything to do with you and Nene. You guys have been friends longer than me. Both of you guys are older than me. Come on, grow up.
Yeah. Do you think their friendship will ever get back to where it was?
I think they would become friends again, but I don't think it'd ever be the same. You know how, like, you have that girlfriend that you're so close with, and then once you cross me like that, it's like, I think it's going to take a while.
Yeah.
Never say never, but I definitely know it's not going to happen next season or the next season. It's going to have to be something huge for them to get it back together.
I really enjoyed this season seeing you taking care of your nephews because I think it gives like a new perspective on your life and who you are. Aww. And, you know, what's the situation now? Are you still, you know, the primary caregiver?
I'm still full-time Monty. I am the primary caregiver, the only caregiver, yes. It's amazing. A year ago, I would never think I would be here. I never thought I would be waking up worried about, did you eat your breakfast? Did you brush your teeth 5 minutes? Is your homework ready? Do you have your Thursday folder signed? Going to PTA meetings. I'm volunteering at the school in the carpool line on the 6 because they get Michael's school, they get to have uniform day where they don't have to wear uniforms. So I'm going to be in line collecting money. It's like, really, God, this is what you had planned? But I'm enjoying it. I feel that God doesn't make any mistakes, and I'm right where I need to be.
That's amazing.
Where I'm supposed to be.
Does it give you a new appreciation for even the other housewives and, like, you know, what they're going through as mothers?
Absolutely. Any mother, not even just the housewives. It's a job, because really I'm taking on the role of a mother. And I mean, when I go to sleep at night, I'm stressed out. I'm worried, like, Lord, am I making the right decisions? Am I spoiling them too much? Am I being too strict? How are they going to be going out into this world? Am I doing the best I can do? So it's like you're constantly worried, and you really just have to do your best and give it away to God. But it's a job.
Yeah.
It's a job. It's like showing enough attention. I'm so tough to where, since my nephews are there now, I hug more. I'm more patient. If we lay on the couch, they want to lay on me and watch TV. And it's like, I didn't get that as a little girl. I left home at 10, so I didn't get kisses. And, baby, how was your day? Do you want to have breakfast today? And what are we going to cook for dinner? And we're going to go have lobster rice next door at the sushi spot. My nephews love sushi. They had never had sushi until they came with me. So sometimes I'm like, damn it, you're creating monsters. Because Michael would be like, Auntie, can I have lobster rice for dinner? And William's like, and I want a sushi roll. What? So I'm glad I can provide that, but I get worried sometimes. Like, ugh. But I don't have them into the clothes as they're into them, but not the labels. So I'm happy with that.
One thing I feel like I personally wish I could see more of, but in terms of your life, is dating and relationships.
I wish I could see that as well. I don't have no damn luck in it. I don't know if I run them off. Now the guys, my nephews, are really going to run them off.
Right.
But I feel we need to do a show. We need Marla Finds Love.
Yeah.
I reached out to Candy, Nene. I'm like, can you guys hook me up with someone? And no one wants to hook me up with anyone.
Why?
I think they don't want me to get a peach. Something. Nene said you have to create a man for me. But I don't know. But it's hard dating in Atlanta.
Right.
And it's hard dating being on a reality TV show.
Yeah.
That's absolutely.
I imagine, and I could be wrong, you can't do like the apps or things like that.
You know what? I'm thinking about saying fuck it and do the app. My team is like, no, they're going to call you a prostitute. They're going to call you this. I'm like, they call me that anyway.
True.
But I'm like, let me just do it. But I want it to be like a Nima Marcus app, like a high school app, not just single and mingling or whatever they call it. But I want like a nice app. But I definitely want to meet someone who I can be Marlo with, though. And I don't, it's not because I'm getting older. I would love to bring a king around with my nephews, and they can have someone to look up to. And just me, when I get older, to have someone there for me and just to be happy with. But I'm not going to settle. Like, I'm not going to go and get fake boyfriends like Kenya and just settle just to say I have it. I really want someone I'm truly happy with. I want someone I love my nephews looking up to. I love walking in this office, meeting you guys, and I want to truly love him.
Yeah.
And if it takes, if that's a part of me not having a peach, I'll be peachless before I settle or bring on someone fake.
Well, it's not a Bravo show, but everyone's talking about it. Have you watched Love is Blind?
No, I haven't seen Love is Blind.
Okay, I need you to, because it was filmed in Atlanta. It's all Atlanta people, but they had to get engaged without even seeing the other person.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. But
just take a weekend.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to.
I know you're not busy or anything.
I know, right? I'm not busy with these boys, no.
So I know you have Dorit Kemsley helping hooking you up with her stylist.
Yes.
Any other housewife connections we don't know about?
No, not housewife connections. Like what? What do you mean connections?
Like, are you friends with any of the ladies from other franchises?
No, just Dorit and who else? Really, just her. That's the one I usually talk to. I mean, I love all the ladies. When we're at Andy's show, that's when we all really got a chance to mingle, but we're always in each other's DMs now.
Yeah, amazing. Yep. Thank you so much for coming on, and I can't wait to see you at the reunion.
Oh, well, thank you for having me, and I'm going to be there so skinny. Hopefully you recognize me. Hopefully you recognize the goddess.
I'm going to try your diet.
I know, right? You don't need a diet. I need your diet. All right, thank you.
Thank you. Do you feel like there's something that's blocking you from being truly happy or preventing you from achieving your goals?
With over 3,000 U.S. licensed therapists in all 50 states, BetterHelp Online Counseling is here for you.
Users can connect with counselors in a safe, private, and convenient online setting.
You no longer have to worry about meeting with a counselor in person. With four available communication modes, text, chat, phone, and video, you'll be able to make appointments through your desktop, laptop, and cell phone.
Go at your own time and pace while speaking to licensed counselors who are specialized in depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, trauma, grief, and more. Anything you say is confidential.
If you're not happy with your selected counselor at any time, you can request a new one for no additional charge.
Best of all, it's a truly affordable option. Daily Dish listeners get 10% off your first month with discount code DISH. That's D-I-S-H.
So why not get started today? Go to betterhelp.com/dish.
Simply fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor you'll love. That's betterhelp.com/dish.
All right, Vanderpump. Are you so excited to see this wedding?
You know what? I was sort of with the collective internet of like, oh my God, how many more wedding episodes are we going to have here?
But right.
I really thought that it was a beautiful, beautiful ceremony.
I just can't get over Brittany's face the entire walk down the aisle. Like, it was very much like the Taylor Swift meme of just like, you know, right. I won. Oh my God. Like, no one has ever loved a groom as much as she loves Jax, in my opinion.
I would actually say no one has loved a wedding.
Okay. Wow. I mean,
there's obviously no question of Brittany, her love for Jax. Okay. At this point, it's obviously her love for Jax that has kept the two of them going strong, and his love for her, because obviously he has it. But Brittany has been talking primarily about the wedding and not about the marriage. So I would venture to say that she is just thrilled to bits that she's having her picture-perfect princess wedding at this point. But you know what? She did an incredible job. They did an incredible job. I really, really thought it was beautiful.
Yes.
And plus, beautiful. The most important part was that we got Meemaw.
Oh, Mamaw.
Mamaw. You know I love Mamaw.
Mamaw's beer cheese.
I won't go crazy. You're not going to walk out of here looking like me, I promise.
Let me, all right. You make me look like you, honey. Go ahead.
Okay, the other part of this that I thought was funny, like, I have honestly just been falling in love with Rand in a way I didn't expect this season. I find it just adorable that Rand was in bed with Beau, completely oblivious to the fact that he is in a wedding and needs to report for groomsmen duties. But it also reminded me of this article I had read that was like, here's what it's really like to date an uber rich person. And of course me, I was like, what is it like? And they said that the biggest surprise was how uber rich people have no sense of time. Like, if they have a dinner reservation at 9, what does it matter if they miss it? They'll get another one. Right. So it's like nothing is of the moment, or like you just have no sense of time, which I was just like, oh my God, like I think there's some truth to that, that he's just in bed waiting for someone to tell him when he should do something.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because obviously he's a producer, he works on a lot of films, and sort of the structure of production and filming and things, you know, the Hollywood life is not a very structured, like, you're here from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. in the office doing this. That's not at all what Rand is used to. And so I think, yeah, he just totally needs someone to be like, you need to be here at this time. That's like being on set, you know, like you need someone to like go to the actor's trailer to be like, your call time is in 5 minutes. Like, we need you on set in 5 minutes. He totally just has no idea. But also, I think it was Tom Schwartz's job to get him, right? And Tom didn't do that.
Right.
And that's, you know, Tom never filed his marriage license. He's just a very Schwartz situation, I think.
Right. I loved, though, that Sandoval got to use his stash of tampons in this episode.
See, you can never be too prepared.
I think I stood up and told you, because we were still in the office at the time. I was like, Eric, you should always have some extra tampons on you. Just,
I know.
You know, you have so many girlfriends. It just makes sense. It would just be the polite thing to do.
It's so true. I mean, I wouldn't even know like which ones to buy, but like you can tell me and then I'll just like keep them in my backpack for emergencies. One thing that I thought was interesting about this episode is it almost feels, in this particular episode, like two different shows happening at the same time, because we are really there through this whole wedding, and it's like all of the OGs, and you're just like, oh my God, like it's happening, Jackson Brittany's wedding, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden the camera like pulls up and then lands down in LA, and you're like, oh right, there's still like nine other people that we know who are hanging out at Tom Tom and Sir, yeah. And like all of this stuff. So it just, all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, I hadn't even been thinking about what everyone else has been up to at this point. And then all of a sudden we're there with them. The one thing that I thought was wild is learning about Danica's DUI.
When I got my DUI, I jam-packed like five people into my car, and we were driving to an after party in the hills, and I got pulled over. So I have to blow into this device before I start my car. Woo! And then every 15 minutes as I'm driving. It's so embarrassing.
I don't know why it's so funny to me, the thought of having a friend who's like, I have to go blow into a thing if I want to start my car. Like, it's like a 40-year-old virgin, remember? Yeah. So did you have friends like that in LA?
No, and that's the thing. like, I remember when I spoke to Dana about it, Dana was sort of like, I had never seen something like that in real life. And I was like, me neither. And I've heard of those things being something that are in, it's something that's installed in cars so that you can't drive drunk, but I had never actually seen one in action. And what fascinates me the most is how unbothered Danica is by all of this, and also how unbothered she is by authority in general, because she just, like, when we first met her, she had been suspended because of like saying something to her ex-boyfriend or something while on duty, and then, or not on duty, or while working, and then now this. And I'm just sort of like, she's a bit of a wild child, and I would like to know maybe a little bit more about Danica. And I didn't expect to want to know more, but now I do.
I know, like almost like she's a sister on Pretty Wild, aka Lingering. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like for that sure. Type. Yeah, I mean, she's definitely giving me 2007, like, Hollywood socialite vibes, like the Lindsay, Paris, Nicole, when they were just kind of getting into a lot of trouble. Like, Danica is like the new wave of that.
Also, did I just hear a beer bottle?
I wish.
I mean, it is noon.
We drank all our beer. Okay, we had a 12-pack on Friday, and that was gone by like end of day Saturday. So.
Oh, you know what I did really appreciate about Jackson this episode? Wow. How upset he was about the cash bar.
Where's your money? Where's your wallet?
I gave it all to the bartender.
I need cash for the bar.
Why?
It's a cash bar.
$100,000 wedding and I f***ing have this? No. People want a drink. All these people are going to f***ing leave. Mitchell, I have 60 bottles of vodka and they're charging people for it. That cannot happen.
Let me get Chrissy.
She needs to take that cash register off. Giving a cash register for
it. Nothing bothers me more than a cash bar at a wedding.
What was the mishap? Obviously, Jax was like, we have so much vodka. Like, I don't understand where it is. It was obviously something that just was a miscommunication or whatever, but I do not blame him for one second for reacting the way that he did, because I would have been mortified. Had that been my event. It's not my event. It would have been my wedding. But but you know what I mean? It's like, for even from just like an event planning perspective, like, you do not want that at all. No way. Lance Bass is the friggin' officiant of your wedding. You can't have a cash bar.
Right. Unacceptable. And Sandoval was, of course, there to save the day, and Jax was so not appreciative.
I know. But that's, you know what? That is just the kind of guy Sandoval is. Well, it wouldn't be a proper wedding.
I'm sorry. I just know where you're going with this sentence, and I'm already laughing. Go ahead.
It wouldn't be a proper wedding if somebody didn't have sex with their ex-boyfriend.
Kristen. Good old Dodie.
Does she realize how much she is not helping herself and helping her cause in doing that?
I'm remembering how at Sheena's wedding, she had such boy drama with James. Remember, she slapped him in the parking lot?
Oh, God, yeah.
So it's just like, I mean, thankfully, I think for Schwartz's wedding, she was on good relation ties with Carter. But yeah, oh boy, oh boy.
I wonder where she'll be standing by the time Stassi's wedding comes up.
If she's invited.
Oh, that's the tea.
I also got the chance to talk to the white Kanye West, James Kennedy. He talks about how his sobriety has improved his life, what he thinks about Kristen's relationship with Carter, and shares his opinion on the new servers. Plus, he gives us an update on his relationship with Raquel post those crazy texts. Here's that interview.
What's up? What's up? James Kennedy in the house.
Yep, yep.
White Kanye Express. Yep, yep, yep. Like a snake. Bow, 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 bow. Like a slithering snake. Caw-caw.
James Kennedy, welcome back to the podcast.
Hello. Thank you for having me back. It feels so good to be in New York City.
Always love when you're on.
Thank you. Really?
I really do. I feel like you're always, you're super honest. You're super open. Yeah. I like that.
Always been honest. Always been open. Yeah.
Yeah. So I am so curious because I'm in, you know, obviously watching the show right now with all of the fans, but I feel like outside of the show, like Jax came on the podcast and was raving about you,
really?
Like saying how much he loves you and what a great person you are.
What a nice guy. And what a nice thing to say.
I know. And I saw Katie Schwartz, Maloney Schwartz, she, you know, posted something on Twitter that was like she was really proud of you.
Yeah, I saw that. That was really nice of her.
So what brought on this change?
Well, I'm coming on to 9 months sober. Haven't had a drink in nearly 9 months. And I just feel like it's changed my life for the better. From DJing to my relationships, to my friendships, to the workplace, everything's just been excelling and being beautiful for me. You know, Raquel has really stuck with me this whole time and she's been my rock. And she does end up giving me an ultimatum this season on the show. And it's time for James to make a decision and make a real one this time instead of beating around the bush and saying some bullshit like I would in my previous years. You know, from 21 to 25, I would take drinking breaks or lie about it or da 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 da. But this time I'm not lying to myself, which truly matters, and it feels good.
I wonder, because I think it's amazing that you, I mean, 9 months, that's incredible achievement.
Thanks.
But I think when people watch shows on Bravo and like this sort of comes up, and it's come up on other shows too, people are like, well, wait, what is the difference between I do bad things when I'm drinking?
Yeah, so it wasn't like I was doing bad things. And like, I think that Jax and Katie have both seen a difference in just the way I carry myself, the way I act, the things I have to say. You know, I'm still the funny, charismatic James, just not with a side of douchebag. Do you know what I mean? Or at least trying not to be so douchey. You know, I know it's kind of hard for me with these good looks and perfect hair. But,
and amazing talent.
You know, and my I-8. Can't forget about the I-8 on Sunset Boulevard. No, but seriously, you know, I just come at things with a lighter air now. You know, people don't piss me off as much as they used to. I don't take everything to heart as much as I used to. And, you know, I like being in a good place with Katie, and I like being in a good place with Jax. You know, when me and Jax are on a good place, like, we're fucking gold together. Do you know what I mean? And I do love Jax so much. And I love Brittany as well. You know, I do regret a lot of the things I've said to them. But look, we've all said some fucked up shit to each other. It's what I do with it from now on. And yeah, I'm really happy that they've seen the difference. You know, they didn't have to this time. But I think that when things are real, people notice. For real. You know, when someone's really trying or doing something so transparently real and then you turn your back on that, that's on you. Do you know what I mean? You're the shade here. And I think that everyone has embraced it with, you know, open arms. And I didn't ask for that. It's just how it worked out. And I couldn't be more happy with that. Yeah. So it's a blessing. And it also inspires me to continue this good road on being sober. You know, I honestly personally enjoy my life so much more not being hungover in the mornings, and I'm able to DJ now. You know, it was pretty weird DJing in the beginning. Like, you know, I'd used to get off stage feeling like a rock star, you know, everyone congratulate me. And now it's like, you know, I kill the set. I know what I did. I come off just how I came on, sweatier. And it just feels good, you know, it just feels good. But it did take some getting used to, you know, but I feel like I'm getting there. And yeah. It's all good.
Has Lala also been supportive?
Yeah, Lala's been so supportive of me. She's over a year sober now, and it's just incredible to see where our friendship's gone. See, that's what I mean when I say, like, because I quit drinking, this is all better for me now. It's these little things that can, you know? These people didn't want to hate me. I just feel like I was making them, you know? And Lala, Randall's also really helped our friendship, you know? I think that Randall spoke to Lala and really gave her a little push, like, hey, you should reach out to James now that you're sober, you know, you shouldn't really be holding these grudges or whatever it was. She didn't have to do it, but she did. And I really respect her for it. And it's just, you know, me and Lala are in a beautiful place right now. We're making music again. I'm invited to the wedding. I couldn't be happier for her. And yeah, it's just an amazing thing. She definitely evolved, you know, like Pokemon do. And I wanted to evolve as well. And I feel like I did, you know, and it feels really good.
So I guess that means that if God grants us another season of Vanderpump Rules, it will look very different in terms of the relationships you have with everyone.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, finally. I mean, it's been a long road. And yeah, it'd be good to go out with Jax and the boys again, you know, be able to go to these parties with all the girls there without everyone freaking out. Maybe Kristen will still freak out, but, you know.
Oh, nothing. Yeah. How has she reacted?
I mean, could you... I don't know. I haven't gotten much reaction from her. I know that she doesn't like me and like she thinks it's all fake and whatever she wants to think. But I think it's because she's suffering in her own life right now with her own relationships. And, you know, her drama with Carter, you know, I'm not involved in it. I just see what the show brings. And, you know, obviously she sees me and my relationships or my life and my workplace getting better. She probably doesn't like it. But, you know, it's nothing to do with her. And yeah, as long as she stays clear out of my way, I'll stay clear out of hers.
You and Sandoval have become friends. Do you think there's a future for you and Carter's friendship?
Nah, I don't really want to be friends with Carter. Do you know what I mean? He doesn't excite me. You know, Sandoval excites me.
He does.
He always has. You know, from the day I met him at So, he was showing me the strings on his guitar, and it was like, yeah, I'm gonna be your friend.
Yeah,
I haven't really ever gotten much out of Carter except like, you know. Yeah, that silence. You know, for real though, you know, I haven't ever had a conversation with the guy. Don't really plan on being friends with him. Don't really care to.
Yeah.
It's just, it is what it is. Plus, like, I'm trying to stay as far away from Kristen as possible, you know. I mean, have you watched the season? Do you not agree with me that she's a bit of a wreck on these scenes? Like, you see her falling over. I see you nodding, but you're not saying anything. You know, and
I did no such thing, James.
Yeah, yeah. I'll just leave it for the viewers, you know.
Yeah. As someone who is close to Sandoval and Ariana, and like they've really, you know, had your back for a while now. What is your take on their relationship? Because I know there's been a lot of comments about it this season.
By who?
Well, Jax particularly.
Yeah, a lot of shit talking on Tom and Ariana's relationship. I love them together. I think Ariana is a very strong, powerful woman. And I think Tom Sandoval's a strong, powerful man. You know what I mean? He's in boss mode right now with the whole Tom thing happening, and he's killing the game. And I'm just proud of him, you know? I think that his relationship with Jax is a little bit deeper. They've known each other a longer time, and Jax and him can say things to each other that I wouldn't ever really say to Tom. Do you know what I mean? It's hard to explain, but, you know, it is a little bit disrespectful the way he does talk about, you know, Ariana's sexuality being like, if I'm not mistaken, like, wasn't there things going on between Kristen and you know what I mean? Like, so it's just all... It's all a bit silly to me. I don't understand why you said that. But then again, you know, not my place. Don't really care. I love Tom and Ariana together. And I think they're going to be together forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Write more books together. Mm-hmm. Jump in the pool a few more times.
Sure.
Know?
Why not?
Life's good.
Yeah. What do you think of the new servers?
Yeah, I don't know. I like the new guys. I think they're really cool. Brett's a great guy. Max is a great guy. Dana's amazing. Charlie's a lot of fun. Yeah, they're great.
Yeah.
I think I get along with Brett the most. We probably hang out the most.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Go to the gym together, play Fortnite, go grab lunch at the Grove. You know, whatever you want to do on a normal LA Saturday.
We see Raquel a lot more this season than we have in the past. And I was wondering if it made you nervous at all. Because, you know, obviously reality TV, it can all change someone.
I love that they're showing more of Raquel's boss side. You'll see as the season goes on, but... You know, I love that they're focusing more on Raquel. Raquel's definitely got a lot more to say than what they've previously showed on past seasons. And I think that now that she's working at Sir and got her foot completely in the door, you know, it's really cool to see her at Sir. You know, she's like the boss girl walking around. She knows how to, she's working the place. It's become very easy to her. And it's not an easy job. Do you know what I mean? Like, fans are coming in all the time, you know, expecting the Sir experience. You know what I mean? And like, who is Raquel to be giving that to everyone, like, when nobody really actually works? You know what I mean? Like, not everyone's right. So it's, she's doing really amazing. You know, she's a team player. She makes sure everyone is so happy. And I just love her. She's just a saint, that girl. Yeah, she really is my angel. And I'm the luckiest guy in the world to have her. I really am.
How's your mom?
My mom's really good. Thanks for asking. She's still sober. So she has now over a year under the belt, and our relationship is at a high. You know, she texts me every day, we talk every day, we live 10 minutes away from each other, so I like to see her. I treat her for lunch a couple times a week, so we stay close, and our relationship has gone leaps and bounds since I stopped drinking as well, because now that we're both sober, we're both counting the blessings together every day, and it's just such a beautiful thing. You know, I never really thought that this would happen, but it really has, and it's just incredible. You know, there's no more hiding shit. There's no more secrets now. Do you know what I mean? Those family secrets, it's so hard to get over, because, you know, everyone loves their mom, but, like, you know, there are some things that are kept from people and said, and it just breaks families apart sometimes. And I'm so happy that we're past that and we can just enjoy ourselves now in this beautiful time of life. You know, she still goes to her meetings, and I've got to go back into mine. You know, I've gotten really comfortable with not drinking, and like, but AA did start it with me. And it's like, you know, I do want to go back, just to like, well, Raquel wants me to go back too, because it's just a good reminder. But my mom's really into it, and very, you know, religious. Well, we've always been. You know, we've always believed in God and everything, but, like, you know, it's just been an amazing thing. You know, my brothers are doing well. My dad's in England right now. And yeah, I miss him so much, but he should be back to visit soon.
So I know you said that you and Lala are making music again.
Yes.
What about you and Sheena?
Well, I haven't gotten back into the studio with Sheena. I know that she wants to work on something, but, you know, time flies by right now. You know, we've got so many things happening. She's got a new boyfriend right now. And yeah, I'd love to get in the studio with Sheena. You know, it's always fun. I love Sheena so much. She's my girl. So whenever she wants to make it the track, girl, I'm ready for you.
Didn't you guys go to Vegas together recently?
I can't remember. Honestly, I've been on the road so much. I don't even remember my last Vegas trip.
That's all right.
I forget what it was. I've been doing Atlantic City a lot, but like, oh yeah, we were in Vegas for something. Do you know what it was for? Because I'm drawing a blank. All right, scratch that. Next.
So what is the future of your music? What can fans expect?
Well, I've got a really sick remix out right now, Lost Reception by James Kennedy. You can check it out on Spotify. It's doing really well. It's like a tropical deep house vibe, perfect to play at a pool party, at the gym, or whatever. Just easy, good listening, nice bass line that I wrote. And my friends Grant Kemp and Cozy Boy wrote that, and I remixed it for them, the official remix. And I'm working on an EP right now. I've got a residency in Atlantic City at the Pool After Dark Horrors. I'm working on a big Vegas announcement that I'm announcing next week on my Instagram. And yeah, you know, I'm going to be playing mostly my music during these sets. Like, I think I'm at like 28 minutes of original music in the hour sets that I'm doing now. And it just feels so good, you know. But stay tuned. My new EP is coming out soon. I've got a new track with Lala coming out called Playboy Bunny. You want to hear a little flow from that?
Yes.
All right. So she comes in like, I'm a Playboy Bunny or something. But then I come in, I'm like, you ain't ready for the drop yet. 737 first class. Yeah, I'm upset. JK H87 on my way to the bus stop, on my way to New Orleans. And I'm upset. Gotta keep it steady. Gonna take my spot. Yeah, 737 first class. No objects. Now I got her in the penthouse getting on.
Amazing.
Thanks. I didn't want to give away the last bar. But
I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited about it too. It's going to be good. It's like, you know, some British rap over a nice beat that I made. You know, fun shit to perform.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Thank you.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me. Always good to come in here and, you know, give a white Kanye spiel.
Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Real Housewives of New Jersey reunion finale. Basically, it seems in the first half, we just conclude that Joe Giudice is still a dick.
Right. Right. Like, in case you weren't totally sure. Yeah.
I mean, I felt bad because Teresa was really in the hot seat for so much of this part of the reunion. And I understand. Obviously, reunions are there to recap, to rehash, to sort of work through everything, to talk about it. But I just feel like with everything that Teresa has been through this season and all of the things that have happened with Joe, all of the things that she's dealt with her daughters, the drama with Danielle, like all of it, like I was like, oh man, like just let Teresa go. Like let her off a little easy here. But I think it is good that she was able to sort of get some of that out. But it was also weird. There was like a moment when Andy was kind of pressing her for how much money she spent on the legal fees.
Dorinda from Boise, Idaho said, Teresa, I know you paid off all Joe's debts. How much money went towards paying off his legal fees and back taxes?
A lot.
Was it a couple million dollars?
It was a lot.
I mean, was it over $1 million?
Oh, yeah.
We got to let that go.
I know. But all I could think the whole time was how much I agreed with Joe Gorga. Like, just get the divorce. Do it now. Because divorce, we've seen, like, it just changed. Just because you think someone is going to do the right thing, divorce really brings out an ugly side in people.
Absolutely. And especially if Teresa more or less rejected Joe at this point and was like, we're not having sex, I'm sorry, but we're technically breaking up, you know, we're going to separate, divorce. It might not take long for him to get fired up about that and then decide that he's going to act out or do something like try to get spousal support, you know?
Right.
I don't know. I just hope she sort of takes the right steps to do what she's got to do. And I think, like you said, I kind of agree with Joe Gorga. I was also really, I don't know if it's impressed, but just to think about the power that Andy has to walk into Danielle's dressing room, for her to be standing there like making demands, and for him to be basically like, absolutely not. I'm not going to put you next to Margaret. I'm not going to put you next to Teresa. It's up to you if you want to come out there.
That is so funny. Eric, I wrote the exact same note. I love the power Andy has over them. Because it's like, Danielle is being just, you know, so demanding. I have to sit next to Andy or I'm not doing. And he walks in, he's like, so I just can't have that. And she's like, okay.
Right.
I deserve the respect as I'm leaving, as I came in.
Right. Okay, well, here's the deal. I don't want to put you next to Teresa or Margaret. I just don't want to do it. I will make sure that you can speak. I want you to feel like I went out there, I said what I had to say, and I do feel like you can do that no matter where you're sitting.
It's sort of like when you're talking to your coworkers about your boss and you're just sort of like, I'm going to say this and I'm going to stand up. And then you get in the room with your boss and you're like, oh, right, I don't have the power.
Exactly. People always talk such a big game and then it's like, okay, whatever you think is best.
Exactly.
But also, like, I loved her reasoning. I couldn't hear anything you said last season.
It's like,
Danielle,
okay,
you're so full of it.
Yeah, it's not that noisy on set. The whole point is that it's quiet on set so that they can hear each other talk, and you're not that far away from each other. Like, let's be real.
And Andy's a pretty loud guy, you know?
And I also just appreciate that after those demands, it wasn't even like they scooted over and made room for her on either one of the couches. They actually brought out another chair.
Very like Leanne Locken, Real Housewives of Dallas vibe, you know,
Absolutely.
Except that Leanne didn't sit in that chair. I just think that I'm a little bit of a Candy Burris when it comes to reunions, because it was like when Teresa and Margaret hugged. I just find it so disingenuous. Like, are you really over it or you just don't want to talk about it anymore?
Definitely, I don't want to talk about it anymore. Because it's sort of like, what else is Teresa going to say? She had a big part in it. She is probably sorry. I do think that she also
got
is
caught.
Only, well, exactly. I think she's only a little bit sorry because she did get caught, and she probably never would have apologized to Margaret or brought it up to her ever again. She probably never would have even thought about it again if it hadn't come up the way it did. But, you know, I think Margaret also, she's not a kiss ass to Teresa, but I think she will sort of like let it slide because she would rather be on Teresa's good side and maintain that friendship than put it at risk any more than it already has been.
Yeah.
I mean,
I do think there's also the layer of where a person stands in the eyes of the Bravo franchise.
Right, exactly.
And people love Teresa.
Yeah.
So well, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I think her position on the show allows her to be forgiven a little bit easier than maybe other people. But I do have to say, as much as her position on the show might work to her advantage, the producers didn't wait a second to be shady when they zoom in on her face when the hair pull happens and she's like laughing and smiling. And she's like, I didn't think it was funny, or I didn't even care. You know, she basically tried to be like, I didn't even see it.
I didn't know she pulled your hair like that. I think I turned my back when she did it.
So you're saying you didn't see the hair pull?
No, until I watched it on TV.
And what was your reaction when you saw it on TV?
I was like, oh my, she dragged her across the room. Like, that was horrifying.
Let me ask you a question. If you had seen the way that she pulled her hair,
I think I would have stopped her right then.
Do you think that you would not have stood up for her the way that you did for the rest of the season?
Yeah, correct.
And then the producers are like, well, she did see it. So, I mean, Danielle, I guess, has gone out with somewhat of a bang. But what I'm so interested by is how often she brings up Margaret's infidelity and uses that against her, because it's kind of Margaret's only thing that she's done. And so every time Margaret tries to like point out Danielle's flaws or things that she has done that have hurt other people, which there's actually quite a laundry list, I think, of those things, Danielle always just brings it back to Margaret's infidelity. And it's kind of like, you can't use that. Like, there's got to be something else you can bring up. But there's not. I think at that point, there really isn't anything else that Margaret has done. And there's nothing Margaret can say about that. And maybe that's why Danielle brings it up so much. Because how else is she going to defend it? Other than like, well, now I'm faithful to Joe, so whatever. But damn, I don't know. Will you miss Danielle on the show?
No. It just became too much. Like, she's just, I don't think she puts it on for cameras. I think that it is who she is. Like, just having interviewed her at her home one time, like, that is who she is. But it's still, I think she as a person is drama for drama's sake.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's all she knows, in a sense. Did you notice that there were two other familiar faces in this episode? Faces that we see every day?
Oh, Caitlin and Crystal.
Yeah.
Our two coworkers were covering the reunion and they made it into the final episode. They were horrified.
Yeah.
Because it's like when you I will go and cover reunions and you're waking up at like 5 a.m. to get to set. You're never wearing makeup. Your hair is crazy. And then you're next to these really dolled up women and you just look like a trash bag in comparison.
Not that either one of them looked like a trash
bag. No, of course not. Of course not.
But yeah, I got really excited when I saw that and I was just like, damn. Okay, should we do Rose and Thorn?
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Yes.
What was your rose?
So my rose was Shaws of Sunset. When Reza and Destiny are getting their spray tans, the guy who's doing it, his lower third is Robbie, spray tan specialist. And it just makes me laugh because it's like every job is an important job if you believe it is so, you know?
It's so true. And listen, he had so much pride in what he was doing.
Yeah,
and,
that's true.
You know, obviously LA is the market for that. So I'm very happy for Robbie to have found just something that really speaks to him and to others.
Yes.
My rose is the new person that we've met on Family Karma, which is Bali. I think she's fabulous. She's inappropriate in the workplace. She asked the producer if she could cut the burn the bra bitch comment that she made.
That bitch who burnt the bra, I want to slap her.
Which kind of leads me to like my larger rose of the way that Family Karma is shot and edited and produced. They are really good about breaking that fourth wall.
I love that.
It's really cool. In the interviews, they're a little more loose in even just the scenes that they're showing, especially when we see Bali at her job where she just like puts on this whole front of like, oh my God, I love working. It just makes me feel good. And then she's like, I don't, I hate it. I'm like, and then she totally breaks down, and then they actually show the producer and the cameraman. They've done that a few times in these first couple of episodes. So there is something about it that's just like so refreshing to me. Like, I just love that we're not like kind of being what we're not, you know, I don't know.
Well, I've also been getting like a lot of DMs from Bravo listeners and viewers who are just like, I love Family Karma. And that's, it's always so helpful for us to know because we know what we like, but it's great to know what you guys are super into.
Yeah, I mean, especially because we do have so many shows on right now and we don't have all the time in the world. So we do have to kind of pick what we're gonna talk about. But if you guys wanna hear more about Family Karma, I will be obviously watching, and so will Megan, and you know, maybe we can have a little breakdown at some point. What was your thorn?
So I had two, and they were both from Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Okay.
So it really melts my butter that all the women are hating on cats. Why? Cats are amazing.
I think it's one. Oh, look at that one. Hi.
Right.
She's so annoyed that you're working from home.
Get out.
She's like, this is my time.
But no, like cats are amazing and they just are so disgusted by them. And I was like, I would actually be the worst housewife because when the drama is going down, the producers would be like, hey, do we have eyes on Megan? Where's Megan? Like, oh, she's petting another cat. But also, Portia being like, by the blood of Jesus, we bind you, black cat.
By the blood of Jesus, we bind you, black cat.
Well, I love black cats, too, and I think they're the coolest. But I do think, you know, that black cat might have brought something with it to that dinner table.
Mm. So my other thorn was the way Tanya says genuinely. She says genuinely.
I genuinely appreciate that apology.
Right.
And she's not joking. Like, she genuinely says it genuinely. And that really bothers me.
I feel like if there are any Canadians listening, can someone please clarify if that is just how Canadians pronounce it? Because I thought it was weird too. And of course, I immediately think of genuine and I think of pony.
Yes.
And you know, but yeah, I thought that like definitely took me out of the scene for a moment. And I was like, I'm not sure if that's correct. So Canadians out there, please let us know if that is how it's pronounced in the great land of Canada.
All right, what was your thorn?
My thorn was from Vanderpump Rules, and it was Tom Schwartz's 16-minute speech. Because, I'm sorry, we have all been to a lot of weddings, and we all appreciate the timing of all of the parts of a wedding. And we don't want anything that prevents us from eating, drinking, dancing, socializing to last too long. And that includes the ceremony, let's be real.
Right.
So a 16-minute speech from just one person, no. Like 16 minutes should be the time that fills like 2 to 3 speeches. You know, I mean, how much do you really have to say? And, you know, I just, you know, Schwartz will always be Schwartz and on brand as Schwartz, but it's too much. Reel
too
it in.
Too much.
Next week, we have Real Housewives of Atlanta's NeNe Leakes and Vanderpump Rules' Dana Cathan.
This season of Shaws of Sunset is hotter than a California summer.
I am dreading this friendship-ending fight between MJ and Reza.
Remember all the good times they've had? Like when Reza was MJ's man of honor at her wedding, or when they acted together in Reza's play?
He was there for her when she wanted to spread her father's ashes, and they always had each other's backs during arguments within the friend group. They even booked an appointment together to get down there bleached.
So many memories.
Relive all the ups and downs in MJ and Rez's friendship from Shaws of Sunset by downloading the Bravo app.
All 7 seasons of the show are currently available, and new episodes from season 8 are ready to stream every week.
But that's not all. The Bravo app is your place to watch current seasons of all Bravo shows, as well as binge shows from the very beginning.
Did someone say Southern Charm?
That's right. All seasons of Southern Charm, Summer House, and Below Deck Mediterranean are currently available, plus vintage series like Ladies of London, The Rachel Zoe Project, Gallery Girls, and so much more.
All you need to do is download the Bravo app and log in with your cable provider.
Happy binging. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss.